one thing I would ask you to do is if you go by that little table there, you'll notice a New Testament on the front. That we have a New Testament printed just for the ministry out of Shelbyville, Tennessee, and it's called the Mariner's New Testament. And the nice thing about that, at the bottom of it, it says, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. So that's the ministry too, who we do that. But the gospel presentation is underlined, and there is what I call with the seafarers, I call it a course is set for them. And so many of them, we don't have a lot of time to open and completely go through the gospel presentation with them. But I told them, if you don't know how to get to heaven from Mobile, Alabama, you open this and follow the course that's set before you, and it tells them what verse to go to and page after page after page. So we have some, if you want to look at that. If you'd like to order some, I'm not a representative for Bible Literature Missionary Foundation, but if you want to get one personalized, Pastor, you can do that. Bernie Murray actually drew that picture. It's got a tugboat, it's got a shrimp boat, and it's got a commercial vessel on there. And then we went there, and they made a press for us, and then they pressed that with a gold flake color. And it looks like leather. But anyway, look it through that material. If there's anything you'd like, I'd be glad to mail it to you. And thank you for your prayers. And did everybody get a ship's wheel? Okay, if you didn't, make sure you get one, because we would just ask that every once in a while you pull that out and say, who's at the helm of my life? Because sometimes we get so busy, we want to drive, right? Instead of having the Lord Jesus Christ do that. But anyway, all right, if you would, get in your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Good night, we close at 7 o'clock. Is that right?
When you're done.
Woo! I almost asked for an altar call once. Brother Rusty got finished preaching his messages, like, wow. But anyway, that was good, brother. Some good things here. As you was going through there, I was thinking about, you know, there's some of the things in my message I'd like to talk to you tonight. And specifically, we are co-laborers with Christ. And your church here, First Baptist Church, you are co-laborers together, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, along with your missionaries and others. So it's not us, it's Him. And so we are part of that. But tonight I want to open a little bit of a thought on relationship evangelism. So as the Lord gives us the opportunity, the next few days we're together, whenever that happens. I don't expect to speak every night, but if the Lord opens that door, I'd like us to consider relationship evangelism. And that goes a little bit with finding the meaning to build a bridge. So we'll go through some of that. But the scripture for that, that principle is taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And if you would look, beginning in verse 5, and I give you some of that background. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. And there's some, I would say that he probably was a little sharp on some of his things that he was saying. But he reminds them of something in verse 5. Because there's some division in verse 4. For while one saith, I am Paul, I am another, I am of Apollos. He says, are you not carnal? You're thinking fleshly. Verse 7, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, Paul says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 15. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And the message I want to talk to you tonight is about co-labors with Christ, how to meet a need in a person's life. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the church here. You've established it. You have built it. And these are your folk here that want to continue to see men and women, boys and girls come to Christ. That cannot be done unless we labor with you. And so would you bless tonight just a little thought that we'll share here, that you might receive the glory and the honor that you so richly deserve. Thank you for using us. Thank you so much for so much. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So the principle we taught here is that you and I have a responsibility and part of the work of God. Verse 9, and we're going to skip through a little bit of this, but it says, "For we are laborers together with God." And that is the key thing. In verse 10, we see Paul warning or asking each person in the Corinthian church to consider his part in building the church. And that's one thing that Pastor Rocky was talking about. All of those functions that the church has, and missions is part of that, that is building the church. You want to increase your missions budget? Let's see folks get saved. Let's see folks get discipled. Then they'll start giving. And they'll understanding the responsibility of that. This is done by grace of God. And we are to give heed or attention on how it's done. Verse 13, if you'll look over there real quickly, says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." So Paul's informing them that their labor will be made manifest. In other words, it will be revealed or disclosed and put on display. And I would say my understanding of that is that it would be at the judgment seat of Christ. That is what we see. And when we get to heaven, I would share this with you. This has been a help to me. And when we get to heaven and the judgment seat of Christ, God does not reward a number of our results. Okay? He rewards our labor. And it's very... Look at verse 14 again. "If any man's work abide which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward." So that's when we go to the judgment seat of Christ and the rewards that we're given for faithfulness and the work that we've done in Christ, that is what happens. He says, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire." So that thought there, and that will take a lot of pressure off you. As we spoke about a little bit this morning, it is not our responsibility to get everyone saved. God does not require us to get people saved. He requires us to be faithful. And he will reward us for our faithfulness. But we labor while we are faithful. And that's what he's saying here. God, and I like this, coming from a farming background, and I'm sure some of you that are involved in that, God is the property owner, and he has planted a crop. And that crop needs to be watered, it needs to be fertilized, and our harvest will come. And we will join in that harvest when it's come, and he will reward us for our labor. A lot of key words there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Labors together. Your work, reward. Work, reward. That means if we're going to be doing something for Christ, we can't be sitting around expecting it to get done. We have to do it as we can. So we see it's the building. I'm trying to get through my notes here quickly because I feel under pressure. Not really. And when he talks about it at the end of verse 9, he says, "You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. We are just people who were once lost, have believed, trusted in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we took upon life as a what I would say is a commissioned labor. We are going to be rewarded for our efforts. Now, I'm not saying we do that in the flesh. You understand that it is not the flesh that does that. If you would, turn back to Isaiah chapter 42. And we're going to graze through some scriptures here and some thought. And I want to get to that place of talking about relationship evangelism. But he said he's setting the foundation. We want to do the same. Look at Isaiah chapter 42, beginning in verse 1. And this is Isaiah's writing, and I believe the scripture, beginning in verse 1, is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you remember now, as you read through this, remember we are joint heirs with Christ. So there's some application for us in this day and time. He says, verse 1, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." In other words, he's not going to be a bully. He's not going to be harsh. "A bruised reed shall not break. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." Verse 4, "He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein." Verse 6, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness," that's you and I, "and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." Okay, so here is some of us. I would ask you to keep this in your thoughts now, of a co-laborer with Christ. Turn to Isaiah chapter, flip over to chapter 61. Isaiah 61, verse 1. 61:1. And Isaiah records this under the inspiration of Scripture. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." And if you'll remember, the Lord Jesus Christ was handed the scrolls or the Scriptures there in Luke chapter 4, and he read those and read out of that same Scripture. And he said, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he said, "This has come before your eyes." Basically, I'm paraphrasing that. This has come forth. So, I would say that is our charge. When we talked a little bit this morning about those that are bruised and bound and in the ditch of life. We have a commission from God to be faithful and open the eyes of those that are blind and hurt and broken. However, in our Laodicean church age and its perilous times and selfishness, we seem to have become faint. And this is a problem for Ken Craich. But turn to, if you would quickly, as I'm thinking about, turn to Proverbs chapter 24. And sometimes I have to recall some of these things that are helpful to me, because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And sometimes He pokes me. And this is one of those instances, and this is an odd place to find that. But if you look at Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, well, verse 10, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." And certainly we have some adversity in our daytime. But verse 11, this is critical here. It's a responsibility of reaching the lost. I wrote in my margin. Verse 11, "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn into death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth the soul, doth not he know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works?" So there we get back into that responsibility of the gospel. And we will be rewarded according to our labors. And this is all part of that. But you're thinking about this. Goes clear back to Proverbs chapter 24. And in that, you could then go to Ezekiel chapter 33, where you are standing upon the wall and you're warning them. And blood is upon our hands. And sorry to say that experience has happened to me. And I still regret that. But I have learned through that experience not to walk by the opportunity to share the gospel. And a tract, simple tract, can do that. Or it is the presentation of the gospel. But anyway, let us share it. Let's warn people, as in Ezekiel chapter 33. Now, we're going to switch gears just a little bit, okay? The heart of God is the gospel. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The heart of God is the gospel. The Lord, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. But all should come to repentance. So another thought there is Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. So for us as co-laborers for Christ, I would challenge you to keep that spirit fresh in your minds and your hearts when it comes to serving Christ. Jesus first. Other second, yourself win. Third. Okay? Joy. The joy of serving Jesus. And again, God rewards our faithfulness on giving the gospel. He does not expect us to win each one that we have the opportunity to present the gospel to. What did Paul say? Some plant, some water, but who gives the increase? We know that answer. It's Jesus Christ. So, the goal of relationship evangelism is salvation of the lost. And I would put also, the older I get, the more I understand, it's in the restoration of the faint. Again, we talked about that a little bit this morning, castaways. It certainly grieves the heart of God to see people that have the gospel, that have been discouraged and disappointed, hurt, and they become a castaway. This is kind of a side point, but if you do not feel real comfortable in knocking doors, being a bold outward type of witness, put your arm around somebody that's hurting. And if you spend enough time, you're going to find some Christians or some people that may be saved, not saved. We can't see the heart. But you're going to find some people that are hurting. Put your arm around them. Help them. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we go. Okay? So a good theme that works for me and will work for your church is find a need, meet a need, build a bridge. So I'd like to develop that list a little bit. But my first question would be to you, what is your motivation? Do you have a motivation to share the gospel? I believe this is the core of the church. This is you're the workers of the church. You're the people that bear the burden of the church. So I don't think that my intention here is to hurt you. But my question is, if you had the cure for cancer, would you not give 100% to share that cure for cancer? Would you not give it all? Would you not give it your all? And I'm talking about Ken Kreacher, if I'm not consistently thinking about and being obedient about sharing the gospel, something is wrong. Something is wrong. And sometimes we don't think about it. Sometimes this is, now I'm just writing some things down that I've been through. I get off track. Sometimes I'm ungrateful. I have found in the 40-some years I've been saved, sometimes I've become shy. Sometimes I've become afraid. And there was a point in my life I was not capable. because I didn't know how fully to do that. And there's a lot of ways to do that. Your pastor, I'm sure, has been very faithful in that. So remember, we are to be faithful stewards and laborers together with Christ. That is the key. So here's some notes that we're going to take, and as time permits, we'll get into those. But I just want to give you an overview here of those three things: find the need, meet a need, build a bridge. And you're all capable of doing that, and you're all equipped differently. We all have our own strengths, we all have our own weaknesses, we have our own abilities, we have our own experiences. And there is people all over Amboy and in this side of Illinois and around the world that need Jesus Christ. And you are that liaison between Jesus Christ and, I would say, they're called to glory. So, number one, find a need, okay? Here's just some big points we're going to talk about. And again, this is going to be very practical. Just these few things that we're going to talk about here in the next few minutes. But then as we can, we'll develop those as the Lord provides that. So not going to be a lot of scriptures on this, but I want you to listen, and then we'll consider those. Number one, find a need. And here would be some bullet points. Pray for that one. And shortly after I was saved, I remember that Karen and I were married, and we were just moved into, we were renting a house, and a workman had to come over, and God had really been dealing with me about witnessing. So we made an appointment. I didn't even know why the guy was coming, but I prayed and prayed and prayed. He said, "Please, Lord, help me not to be afraid to talk to this guy." So he came, and I had his name, and I remember putting his name out in front of me on the kitchen table and just praying, "Lord, help me to know what to say to this fellow." And he came, and God honored that, and I was able to give this guy the gospel. And I really was not well trained, but I told him my story. Sometimes it's as simple as giving your testimony. This guy said, "That's amazing." He said, "I've heard about guys like you." He said, "Would God do something like that for me?" Well, of course he would. And it's just so simple things. So, number one, pray for one. Secondly, use your spiritual antennas. Okay, while you're out working, we like to say we go Walmart Martian shopping. Okay, there's a lot of Martians at Walmart. But put your spiritual antennas on if you hear something being talked about. Here is a good one. When you go to a restaurant and you eat out, and your waitress or person that's helping you, you notice they're downtrodden, and they're supposed to be joyful, and they're supposed to serve you with a smile, but guess what? They're human just like we are, and they have some bad days. When they come to your table, just say, "Is there something I can pray for you about?" You would be surprised how many requests these poor ladies have. And I've actually had some almost break down at my table and tell me everything that's going on in their life. Find a need, meet a need, build a bridge. When you leave that track on your table that talks about a relationship with Jesus Christ, I guarantee you she or that person will pick that up, and it will mean more to them. They've probably seen them before, but when you relate to them, you care enough to ask her, "How am I praying?" And don't be embarrassed. Just go ahead and pray for her right on the spot. You would be surprised how many people do that. Anyway, spiritual antennas, okay? Watch for divine appointments. Those things come up. Watch for divine appointments, and we will elaborate on that as we can. Be a friend, unassuming, a natural. Proverbs 18:24, I wrote down here. I don't know why, but I'm going to look that up because it, Lord must have used it for somewhere in my life. A man must, if a man hath friends, he must show himself friendly. Right? Be a friend. It's a hard place, some of these places we live in. So Find the need. Those are just some, and Lord willing, we'll talk about some of those. Second part, meet a need. Sometimes that's physical. That can be emotional. I shared this with Pastor and Miss Carol. I was able to see our neighbor come to Christ, dying of cancer, unchurched from Michigan. He was a Yankee. But they had moved down there several years, and we were good associates and tried to help them. But Tom got cancer, and they were very proud of their yard. But I noticed it was getting branches in it and just wasn't kept up like normal. So I'll take a long story and make it short, but I went over there and started picking up twigs and branches and helping him in his yard. And he went from not wanting anything to do with spiritual things to softening up and asking me to come pray for him. And then the night before he died, I had the opportunity to lead him to Christ. And his wife told me, she called me that next morning, said, Tom died at 6 a.m. this morning. She said, I don't know what you did to him, but I never saw him so peaceful from the time that I left until the time he went and died. He said, what happened? So I got to tell her he had trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. How did that start? Find a need. Meet a need. You know what? I was picking up branches. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works. Glorify your Father. Okay? Physical. Sometimes meeting that need is physical. Sometimes it's emotional. Those people that work in a hospice are gifted in many ways of helping the emotional things that you go through. And we've had that. We've had that situation in our family where loved ones have passed away in hospice. I have my mother in Kentucky now in hospice care. I have my stepmother in Colorado in hospice care. They have some great people helping them. But there's some emotional needs that they deal with. They cannot deal. Most of the time, they are not able to deal with their spiritual need. I would say also meet a need impromptu. That's a happenstance thing that happens, and there's a lot of illustrations we can come up with that. Meet a need spiritually. Those things, again, these are you will know people that have spiritual needs. The third one, build a bridge. So find a need, pray for one, meet a need physically, build a bridge, be a friend. I would say just be a friend. That's easy to do at work at times. And always I would find in all the years that I managed companies, there was always a loner in our company. And maybe not treated well by other people. And I would tell you, if you can find that person, just be a friend. Do some things that are not normal for them. Be consistent. If we're going to be a witness towards people, we need to be consistent. And that will keep us on our toes. Another one I wrote down under Build a Bridge is earn the opening. I would say that be long-suffering. When you find that one and you determine to meet that need, earn that opening. Be long-suffering. Look at it kind of like that Samaritan guy. You know, he took care of him. And he was going on his journey. He planned to take him back. This was not a one-night deal for him. He was going to be consistent. And earn the opening. Be patient. Be patient. Don't be in a hurry. The next thing is the most important one is be Holy Spirit dependent. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I think one of the greatest gifts that God has given me in the 15 years that I have had the opportunity to work with seafarers, is I've learned to be a good listener and not always giving out. But sometimes it's just listening, and I'm sure you have that in the jail. Am I right? Sometimes they just need to talk to somebody, and they will show you their spiritual condition many times by just talking. So, this is, I'm going to end it with this. Remember, it's not your job to get them saved. It is our responsibility to plant the seed, introduce them to Christ, trust them to the Holy Spirit, and be a co-laborer throughout the process of the exchange, of them exchanging their place in this world of exchanging their eternal destiny that was hell to an eternal destiny which is in Christ forever. And Lord willing, we'll get to go through those bullet points a little bit, and it'll be very practical, but there's a lot of scriptures I put on with that. So personal evangelism, it's a relationship. Our world, and I'll end it with this statement, our world is so harsh and so divisive and so hurt and so untrusting that if you will just love people and be sensitive and take your time, I think you will see many people that is so foreign nowadays, they will just gravitate to the gospel because you're different. You are different. Let your light so shine that Christ might be glorified and find those needs. They're out there. You work with people that, and I would challenge you, and if we can get into this, that I challenged our church. And I said, write down three names on a piece of paper you start praying for those three. Put it on your mirror, and every morning when you walk by the mirror, most of us do comb our hair or brush our teeth or do something to present ourselves, think about those three and start praying for that person. And we'll look at some scriptures if time allows where God will answer that prayer. And you will see some things happen in those lives where those people come. I'm trying to think of some illustrations that are quick, but we'll save that till later. But find a need, meet a need, build a bridge. You can do that independently, and you can do that corporately. You may have there may be someone in your church family here that one of the mates maybe doesn't come to church, and I remember this in Colorado when we were there. We had a woman, very faithful, but her husband never came to church. He was unsaved. And Karen's daddy brought it up to the men. He said, let's start praying for that fellow. Kind of secretly, but let's all pray that he would start coming to church. And you know, it wasn't long after that that he finally came to church. He sat down and started listening. Eventually, he came to Christ. No pressure. We just asked the Holy Spirit to start dealing with his life, and of course his wife was excited to see him come to Christ, but prayer is so important, and sharing yourself, being a friend, and so we'll talk a little bit more about that, but let's pray. Father,